Y'all would like to take your Bibles and read along with me. We'll be reading from Psalms 33, verse 13 through 15, English Standard Version. The Lord looks down from the heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds.
Wasn't it great to see Alvin standing up here reading to us after being in the cardiac unit a month ago? Praise God. We're so glad to see you recovering well. Probably has a good nurse close by to help him, but we're really glad for that. Couple of quick announcements for your prayer list that I learned about since this morning. One, we've been praying for Stevie Scott, who is the brother of Janet Looney. Stevie passed away. Got the message early this morning, but I didn't check my email in time to be able to announce it this morning. Janet and her two sisters had gone to Florida to be with their half-sister, I believe it is, who is having some health challenges. And so now they're on their way back. They're driving and will get in late tonight. So say a prayer for their comfort, but say a prayer for their safe travel as well. And also Madeline Neal, who is Ken Neal's mother. Greg was telling me about her this evening. How she is really going down and having some real difficulties. So let's keep her in our prayer. But it's good to see you with us this evening. Glad that you are here tonight to worship God with us. As we've been saying, we've got special guests, and I'm glad to see they made it. So, Chaplain Maurice Widener and his wife, is it Pat? Okay, so we're glad they're with us. They're sitting there between the Dambies, and hopefully several of you can join us downstairs after worship and hear him talk about the role of faith in the prison system. He has really been a great friend to us, has helped us greatly in our work up there, and we're just so glad that they have made it possible to come be with us this evening. But let's get our Bibles out. I hope you've got your Bible with you and that you'll turn with me to the passages that we'll be looking at. And let's find things that will help us live a better life here on this earth. What if the elders were to get up and make an announcement that they want you and me to submit to them a detailed log of where we go on the internet? Oh, I hear a laugh. Well, I mean, what if? What if that were to happen? What if they said, we feel the need to keep up with your activities on the internet? And those are going to be long logs, probably. But what would you do? What would you say? Now, relax. I've never heard them talk about it, and I hope I've not planted a seed in their minds by saying that. But, you know, most of us are very much about internet privacy. You know, we're all about privacy, but why is that? And let's talk about another term that we hear a lot about talking about the internet, and that's follow. Now, what it means for us today is that we want to keep up with what other people put out there. And I found this definition of the new word follow on a site called bigcommerce.com. And here's what it says. In social media, a follow represents a user who chooses to see all of another user's posts in their content feed. In other words, I want to see what you put out there. If it is on Facebook, if it is on Instagram, Twitter, you know, whatever there are out there, I think so highly of you, I want to keep up with you. And there are plenty of people that have lots of followers on their social media. Well, that's the idea that I'm driving toward now. Because tonight we're going to ask the question, is Christ following me? Is Christ following me? Now, there may be a few here tonight that have nothing to do with the internet, but I'm guessing that's the real word, few. Most of us now have really gotten into it in one way or another. And I think with that in mind, it's good to occasionally stop and ask, how are we doing? What are we doing with this marvelous tool called the internet? Well, first of all, there is an easy answer to the question, is Christ following me? And that answer is, of course, yes. Christ is following us. Now, I realize the internet is a fairly recent innovation. It was not there in the days of the Bible. The internet, I found, was created by a fellow by the name of Tim Berners-Lee. And his photo is right there. That was 1990. Now, the internet traces back before that. He created the World Wide Web, to be more exact. And that's what we know as the internet today. There were other forms of communication by means of computers before that. But 1990, and I think, really? I mean, look at how far we have come from the days of, the amber screen and the green screen and, the cassette recorder that put all the data on it. I mean, it's just crazy how much progress has been made. And I'll be the first to admit, there's been a lot of good things made possible by the internet. A lot of good things. We are able to get the Word of God into places in the world we couldn't afford to go to, and if we could afford it, maybe we couldn't go there. But there's a lot of good things about the internet, but there's some bad things, and we know that. Let's talk, though, about God's omniscience. And this is the idea. Does Christ follow me in the sense of knowing where I go on the internet? Well, yeah, because the omniscience of God is a major, major doctrine of the Bible. Now, I realize that there are many people that are trying to pry into our private spaces. There are those hackers that are, trying to get into our bank accounts, into our password vaults, whatever it may be. But God's knowledge has always transcended firewalls and password protection. God knows. He knows what we're doing. He knows what we're thinking. Let me just give you three or four quick scriptures on this, because I know we all know this. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. Here we have the prophet Hananiah, who is confronting King Asa of Judah. King Asa has essentially bribed the king of Syria as a way of protecting himself. He has said, we're going to give you lots of money if you'll just protect us and keep us from the other enemies. So Hananiah comes to King Asa and says, why didn't you ask God? Why don't you ask God for the protection that you need? And he says this in verse 9 of 2 Chronicles 16, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. You have done foolishly in this, for from now on you will have wars. And you see there the idea is very clear. God's eyes, in essence, are scanning everything at all times. But there the idea is to support, to give strong support to those who are blameless. And that's a good thing. I mean, if we are living the life we ought to be living, it's wonderful to know that God sees us and knows what we're doing. It comforts us, but when we're on the other side of life, living in opposition to God's will, it's a different story. Let's go to Ezekiel now, Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel is written at the very end of the time of Judah before the Babylonians came in and conquered the land. And listen to what God is showing the prophet in Ezekiel chapter 8. We're going to read verses 7 through 9. First of all, and then we'll jump down to verse 12. But here's what God says to the prophet in verses 7 through 9. He brought me to the entrance of the court. And when I looked, and this is the court of the temple, by the way. He brought me to the entrance of the court. And when I looked, behold, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, son of man, dig in the wall. So I dug in the wall, and behold, there was an entrance. And he said to me, go in and see the vile abominations that they are committing here. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. For Ezekiel to see what was in there, he had to dig into the wall. God had already hacked in there, you might say. God knew that there were vile abominations that were inside that. And then Ezekiel does just what God says. He sees people worshiping idols in the house of God. And now verse 12. Listen to what it says in verse 12. Then he said to me, God said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the dark, each in his room of pictures? For they say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. You see, the idea is timeless. People doing things that they think are concealed, and yet God says, I know what they're doing. I know what goes on behind those closed up areas. It's not a secret to me. The passage that was read earlier from Psalm 33 again states the idea. Psalm 33, look at verses 13 through 15 again, and it says it so clearly. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. Now, for us, it's just mind-boggling to think that God could see everything that everyone does all the time because we're finite. We are limited. But the Bible is very emphatic. God knows. His knowledge is perfect. There is nothing that escapes his notice. It is a fundamental fact of the Bible. John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. Now looking more specifically at Jesus. And on this occasion, Jesus was beginning to see the opposition growing around him, that some people were sincere, others not so much. And it says in John 2, verses 24 and 25, Jesus on his part did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. Now this is while he's in a body of flesh. And he's always, of course, had that ability throughout eternity. But again, it stresses the idea that, yeah, Jesus follows us. He knows what we're about. One more passage, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. And we know verse 12 very well. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, where he says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's this book that we're reading from tonight. It searches us. It examines us deeply. And then he says in verse 13, no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And so you see, we could go through many, many other passages, and they all say essentially the same thing. Yes, Christ follows us. He knows where we've been, where we're going. He knows the words in our mouths before we speak them. He knows us better than we know ourselves. That brings us to the big question now. Have we forgotten that Christ follows us? Now again, I'm focusing especially now on our internet habits because most of us in here have those internet habits. And we're going to ask three questions and apply this idea about God's following us, knowing us, and it will help us to re-examine, I think, where we go, what we do, and all of that. Number one, he sees the places we go on the internet. He sees the places we go on the internet. Now, I'm aware there are programs like Snapchat, I think I'm getting the right one, which was designed for the idea of erasing all of your tracks. It is designed to send a message, and then within a certain short period of time, it's gone. Am I right about that? Some of you know. Okay. And that's what a lot of people want. You know, I don't want people to know where I'm going, what I've said. If I can just erase everything, then that's even better. But there's a lot of people going places they shouldn't go. I found an article on fightthenewdrug.com talking about porn habits. And it talked about one particular site, which is the largest of all those sites. I'm not going to give you its name. And here's what it says about that particular site. In 2017 alone, this is last year, in 2017 alone, this site got 28.5 billion hits. That's almost 1,000 visits a second, or 78.1 million a day. And that's just one of those kinds of sites. There are dozens of them. And it's a problem. It is a problem with a lot of people. Do we realize that Christ is following us? Job chapter 31, here's God's wisdom. And I realize this is a long time before the internet came along, but listen to what Job says and see if we can apply this to our day, our time, our experiences on the internet. Job 31 and verse 1, listen to what Job said in response to accusations that he must have sinned in some way to bring about all this suffering. He said, "I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin?" And he's talking about gazing at her inappropriately, of course. "I have made a covenant with my eyes." And then down in verse 4, he goes on to say, does not God see my ways and number all my steps? You see, Job was thinking that way, and that's very applicable to our day and time. We need to make covenants with our eyes so that we don't linger. It's almost impossible not to stumble upon places like that whenever you're doing something on the internet. And we've all got stories of how, wow, I didn't mean to go there. How did I get here? Well, do we stay there? Do we linger and gaze? Or do we immediately, like Joseph when approached by Potiphar's wife, dash out, "I don't want to be here"? You see, that's the question. And we remember how Jesus made this statement in Matthew 5, 27 and 28 in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 27 and 28. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent, has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And again, that was 2,000 years ago, long time before computers. But it's very applicable to our day and time, just as all the Bible is. And so again, we need to ask the question, where am I going on the internet? And do I think I'm fooling the Lord? Do I think I'm concealing it from Him? Absolutely not. He's following me. He knows. Secondly, He sees how we expose ourselves on the internet. I only go on Facebook to see my grandsons. There's pictures posted on a couple of sites. That's the extent of my Facebook activities. And a lot of that's because I've heard other people say, "Did you know that so-and-so had a picture on there that..." Well, I won't go any further. But you see, the idea is there's a lot of people that seem to think that the rules don't apply on Facebook or Instagram or something like that, that it's all right to expose their bodies, to expose their beauty. Is that right? Can we think like that? Long ago, back at the beginning of time on earth, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, Genesis 2, 25, this is right after God has created Adam and then made Eve to be his helper. And listen to what it says in Genesis 2, 25. "The man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. And there were no clothes available." So they didn't know anything about shame. That was before sin entered the picture. But then in chapter 3, verse 21, sin had entered the picture, and immediately they realized their condition. Now they are ashamed, and they try their best to conceal themselves. But then it's God in chapter 3, verse 21. "The Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them." Does that say anything about God's intent for our exposure of ourselves? That God knows there is a time and a place where it's okay, namely within marriage. But otherwise, let's cover up. Let's not be exposing ourselves. Let's not be showing others our beauty when it's not an appropriate thing. And it brings to mind what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15. Jeremiah 6 and verse 15. And the statement, in fact, is repeated again in chapter 8 and verse 12. But he says this, "Were they ashamed when they committed abomination?" No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. That's becoming true of many in our land today. Many say, well, what's the problem? This is a trend. I mean, everybody is doing this. Everybody's showing themselves. It is a challenge with many. But in the sight of God, it's wrong. And we need to remember, we are being followed by Christ. Everything we do on the internet, He knows, He sees. And number three, He sees what we say on the internet. Now that may sound nonsensical, He sees what we say, but let's remember, we say it in the form of words that we type in. So what we say is written, it's there for others to see. But you see again, there's a problem there. Now, one thing we like about the internet is being anonymous. But I found a site, and you could find a lot of these sites, that says that's got a problem with it too. I mean, there's a lot of ways we want it to be anonymous. If you're in a land where you cannot speak freely about conditions in that land without being arrested, without being tormented, then anonymity is a good thing. But then it goes on to say, and this is a Jewish site where these words have been written, he says this, let's see, the dangers of, well, the title of the article, The Dangers of Anonymity on the Internet, Ari Ezra Waldman says, at the same time, anonymity online empowers the worst among us. Things we would never say to someone's face are more easily said when all you have to do is type and then hit send, and using a pseudonym so nobody knows that it's you, at least you don't think they know. And we've heard many stories like this. Cyberbullying is one form of this. Comments on social media. There are entire sites that are set up for gossip, and it's just everything goes, and people's reputations are destroyed online. And again, we have to ask ourselves, should that be us? If we are people of God, should we be doing that kind of thing? James tells us in James chapter 3 and verse 6, and this is just one verse in an extended discussion of the dangers of the tongue. But he says in James chapter 3 and verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Satan is only too happy to use our tongues and to use our fingers. He's glad when we let it rip and say whatever we're thinking because we think nobody knows who's saying it. But Jesus knows. Jesus, who said this in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. And I think he would also add there, every careless word they type, because it's communication. We're putting it out there for people to see and to read. We are using our gift of communication for the wrong reason. And so again, do we say that things on social media, do we say things on that site or in venues like that we would never say to a person's face? Have we forgotten that Christ is following us? I remember growing up, I used to hear the story read, I guess we had a book of it at home, The Three Billy Goats Gruff. I haven't heard that in a long time. If you've not heard it, just come talk to me and I'll tell it to you. But there was an evil troll that lived underneath the bridge, and there you get one depiction of it. That's kind of an ugly creature, nasty, and he was hiding. That's the idea. He was hiding until he heard somebody crossing the bridge, and then he would spring out, and that would be the end of them. Brett Reinhart wrote this on a website, crosswalk.com, talking about how Christians sometimes become a troll. And you know, if you know a lot about the internet, a troll is not somebody you want to be. But it says, trolls are those fictional characters who live under bridges. They are also those real-life characters who live on the internet. And sadly, many of them claim to be Christians. Internet trolls come from all walks of life and backgrounds. Just as the fairy tale trolls hang out in dark places, internet trolls hide behind usernames and handles and spew venom in comment sections or on social media. And again, like he says, some say they are Christians, and yet they're using the internet for all the wrong reasons. We may have perfect anonymity on the internet. Nobody will ever know that it's me that has just written that comment or made that assessment of this person or that. But let's not forget, Christ follows us. Christ knows. Let's act as his people while we're on the internet, just as we do in other walks of life. Are you a child of God? We urge you to be, if you're not already. If you believe that Jesus is God's Son, strongly enough that you're willing now to repent of your sins, turn away from them. If you're willing to stand up here tonight and say, I do believe Jesus is the Son of God, not ashamed of that. And if you're willing to allow someone to bury you in baptism, you'll come up out of the water free of sin, cleansed, new, alive. We'd love to help you with that. And if you've done that and yet you have not been faithful, you've not been acting as a Christian, you need to repent. God's ready to forgive. We're ready to encourage if you'll come as we stand and sing.